Thank you so much. Psalm 91, please. Psalm 91. We are here with a psalm for the season. Not necessarily the Christmas season. It's a psalm for the season that is now. And so as we look at the psalms, we'll be continuing through this. We'll break probably for a Christmas message or two, and then we'll rejoin this after the new year. My intent now is to get to make our way through this portion to end up around Psalm 105. I won't get into the Psalms of Ascent, but it's a great passage here of what God is, of who God is. We really see a lot of this as we see Yahweh as presented in the Old Testament, Jehovah, great God. This Psalm here, 91. Says in some texts, it's the Psalm of David, the ones from the Qumran, you think of the Dead Sea Scrolls, and the Septuagint say Psalm of David, the Masoretic text from which we base ours, does not give an indication. So we don't know for sure that this was a Psalm for David. Some say that if the Psalm does not have a heading in it, it indicating the author, it goes to the Psalm previous. So that would be Psalm of Moses in 90. But for whatever reason, God did not choose to make this very clear for us. Maybe because it is indeed a personal psalm. It's one that we should not think of an author writing, but one that we should be thinking of ourselves having brought into our hearts and lives. It relates to an individual's life here. It's made up of declarations, of statements, of examples, of explanation. And then, uncharacteristically, it comes to the very portion of the psalm, and then God speaks. So we're going to look at this morning and read our first portion here of Psalm 91. And we're going to see that He is the Most High God. Would you follow along as I read Psalm 91? He who dwells in the shadow of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to my Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. For it is He who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord Yahweh my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. For He will give His angels charge concerning you, to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands, that you do not strike your foot against the stone. You will tread upon the lion and cobra, and the young lion, the serpent, will trample down. And here it is that God speaks. Because He has loved me, therefore will I deliver Him. I will set Him securely on high, because He has known my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer Him. I will be with Him in trouble. I will rescue Him and honor Him. And with long life I will satisfy Him, and let Him see my salvation. Let's bow for prayer and ask for God's help to understand His Word this morning. Gracious God, we praise You and thank You for the power of Your Word. We thank You for the record here of Your goodness, of Your greatness, of Your power. We thank You that indeed You are a personal God. We thank You that You are the Most High God. There is none higher. Father, as we come to Your Word this morning, would You open our hearts and would You, by the power of the Holy Spirit, give us understanding of Your Word. That, Father, as we have understanding, may we, by Your grace, obey. May we trust You. May we rely upon You, depend upon You, because You're the only one on whom we can depend. We thank You for our time. Would You bless and meet with us now in it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I always have to laugh when I'm driving down the road and pull up behind a truck at the red light And in big letters on the back window, it says, "Fearless." And on every corner, there's a dent. There's a scratch. There's a taillight broken. Fearless. It really illustrates the point that the driver has been a little less than fearless. When I see all the bangs and things on his truck, yeah, he's been fearless, but it's not left him unmarked. What do you fear? Because many of us proclaim that we are fearless. We proclaim that there's nothing that can stop us, nothing that make us afraid. We are fearless. Fear is really a balance. In life, and our kids, when they were growing up, you want them to be afraid that the stove, if they touch it on the burner, will burn them, so they won't touch it. They want some fear in life. Fear is good for us. It causes us to be cautious. But on the other extreme, fear can be debilitating. It can be something that causes us to freeze. It causes us to live in isolation as a hermit. There are many who would, if they had the chance, someone told me this week, if I had $1 million, I'd go buy me a bunch of land and I'd just, live up there. And I don't know if he was a believer, but I said, as a Christian, yeah, there are a lot of things to be afraid of, but God gives us the opportunity, the privilege to live out God and His love in the midst of things that are fearful. I'm not sure if he appreciated that. But for the Christian, what do we fear? How do we fear? We're told that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Right? That in reverencing Him, we have the beginning of our wisdom, and we're called and commanded to go into all the world and preach the good news of Christ. But if we're fearful of things other than God, if we reverence things or have abject fear of things other than God, we are not effective in the mission that God has given to us. Maybe this morning you're like the truck and you've proclaimed yourself fearless, but you've been dinged and marked and damaged by life, and really inside there is a lot of fear in you. Maybe there's scrapes and your sticker is peeling off. And you realize that you, although you give a good front, there are things in your life in which you do fear. Well, the psalmist here this morning has the answer to fear, to deep-rooted, deep-seated fear. This morning the psalmist addresses issues that we face. Fear, desire for safety. But ultimately, who do I turn to for safety? This morning I want us to see that your God is the Most High. Because He is the Most High God, you and I can trust and must trust Him with our lives. And that is where the proverbial rubber meets the road. We can say that we believe God, we have faith in God, but do we actually trust Him with the portion of our lives that is now? Do we actually trust Him to live, that He will control and He will take care of us now? Can we trust God? Who is He? Let's look at our text and understand. First of all, we're going to see in verses 1 and 2 a statement of confidence. And this is a statement, it seems like, from the writer or someone giving the information to the writer. Some have said this psalm is for the king. We don't have much indication of that. I think part of that is from, if it was a psalm of David, they think of, okay, this is King David writing. But look what he says here in 1 and 2. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. This, first of all, is a statement of confidence. The Most High is able to be trusted for protection. A couple things I'll notice here. Yahweh, God, is King. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. Here the Elyon. This word, this Hebrew root for God, is the exalted God, the Most High above all others. This is the one they worship, and Yahweh is King. He is King. Now we have a kind of a slightly fuzzy definition of King. Right now, Prince Charles is still waiting to to, at 60-something years old, to take the throne. He's been preparing all of his life in England. And so we look across the pond and we see that and we think, you know, maybe one day he will be king and it'll be a few years and then he'll his son. But they don't rule in an absolute monarchy as many of the kings in this time and other periods of history. They don't have absolute power in England. We don't think of that. But at the time, writing here, the king had power. In many stages of history, the king had absolute power. What the king said, he did. It was carried out. And here, the psalmist wants us to understand that this king, this God, is the Most High. He is above all. What he says, what his word says, is accomplished. He is the Most High. He says here that he provides, he will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And again, that word is the word here of God that says that he is the Shaddai, the one who is mighty and powerful. This God is mighty and powerful, provides protection for us. Look at the words that he uses for the protection. This all-powerful God, as well as Most High God, has shelter. Shelter being a place of concealment, a hiding place. The idea of shadow or shade is a cover or protection. Almost like the umbrella, the iron curtain of protection over one who dwells in God. He uses words like refuge, my fortress, my God. These strong things, words that we have a shadow understanding from our history. But know this, that God is not only king, but He can be trusted for protection. You can rely upon Him, and He gives complete protection. When you buy a car, it's a powertrain protection, or do you want the whole thing, bumper to bumper? And you got to decide. And a lot of times, our last two used cars, we have bought the extended warranty. And on my daughter's car, it was like a month or so, and we used $5,200 of that extended warranty. We only paid maybe $1,200, and that was money worth spent. It covered from bumper to bumper, and it covered the things that we needed to do. I don't usually buy warranties, but this is the idea, but in magnified to the nth degree. That God is the protection. He wraps His arms around us, and we can rely upon Him. We don't have to take up battle for ourselves and to stand alone. God is our protection. And look at the words that He uses, this declaration here of confidence that Yahweh can be trusted. And look at the personal language. This is in verse 2, the person is saying, my God, my fortress, my refuge, my God in whom I trust. And that really is the crux of the matter. We can have an intellectual understanding that God is Most High, that God offers protection, that He is all-powerful, but can He be trusted? Can we trust Him to do what He says He will do? And yes, we can. As the Most High who is lifted up, is all-powerful, we can trust Him. But do we trust Him? Do we say, this is my God, my refuge? When I say it's my God and my refuge, then I run to my refuge. I rely upon my God. Not many of us would say, this is my place of safety. That one over there. Yeah, I'm not going to be... Why aren't you in it? Well, I really don't want to. I want to do it myself. But that's mine. The trusting aspect of God can be trusted. It says we rely upon Him. We place our full faith and confidence in God. He can be trusted. Our trust is not based upon ourselves. It is not something that we work up. It's not on another human being. Our reliance is upon mighty God, the Most High. If this God can indeed be trusted for protection, for safety, why don't we trust Him? Why don't we put our full faith and trust in this God? You know, it falls to us here, you and I, As I live my life, as you live your life, you and I must, we must take and make the personal decision that we will trust God with our lives completely, every part. We can't pull it back, snatch back part of it. Hey, God, I give you this, but I'm not going to give you this. He can be trusted. He is the Most High God. There is no one, certainly not you or me, that is higher or stronger or more faithful. He is Almighty God. We must reject the notion that we can protect ourselves. Reject the idea that we have all that we need. We don't need protection. We must rest. We must trust. We must rely upon the Most High God. Are you dwelling? Are you abiding? Because that's the first concept in the first verse here. He who dwells. He who abides. Who takes up abode. Are you abiding in Christ? Are you resting in Him? Fundamentally, do you know Him as your Savior? And then second, as a believer, do you place your full faith in Him? But next we go to the explanation. It's really, it encompasses from verse 3 to 13. I'm going to break it up in two main categories, main sections. Firstly, the explanation. And then we'll look at the examples here. The explanation, verse 3. For it is He who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His pinions. Under His wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. Understand that our God is a personal protector. He is the Most High God. He is one upon whom we can rely. But the language of 3 and 4, it is He who delivers you. It's the personal nature that the psalmist endeavors, I believe, to explain here for us. And we have the deliverance. He who delivers you. He uses an example that they would understand, the snare of a trapper, of a fowler, or someone who's catching birds to eat. So he says, these can be on the ground. They can be on the ground that a bird walks through, traps there, the birds that eat seeds off. It can be nets in the air. But he says, this God is a personal God, just as one who would deliver you from the snare of the trapper. Those things that would trip you up. Those things that would grab you and pull you in. And then he says, from deadly pestilence, the idea of an epidemic or a plague, something beyond our control whatsoever, this God personally will deliver you. He gives you the idea next of protection in verse 4. A personal God will cover you with His pinions. Under His wings you may seek refuge. The pinions are the large feathers of a bird's wings. And it's that picture, the imagery of the mother bird, you know, whatever bird, with the feathers outstretched, drawing her offspring under her wings in protection. And this is the picture that we have of God, is one that we can draw near to and come by and close to because He protects. God is a personal God. He protects us, you, me, not just as a group for us, Psalm 46, but you and I. He protects and He gives refuge. And we can, it says, you may seek refuge. And we are told to seek it out. To seek God for refuge. Sometimes we move through life and say, and do our own thing and say, God protect me. As we're doing reckless things through life, as we're disregarding His Word and who He is. And so we want this to His protection, but He says, seek Him. Seek protection. Again, He gives us an imagery of military things here, and He will continue that. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. The idea of faithfulness is a Hebrew word meaning not only faithfulness, but trustworthiness. We can trust in Him, a firmness and a power that gives us. And the shield is that standing shield in the ancient times. When the shield would come and you would stand it in front of you, it would rest on the ground. It was a massive shield, cover your whole body. The idea of the bulwark is a small, more personal shield that would cover the darts. You'd be more agile. But something that you wanted to be strong and protect you, not only the large one, but the small one. As we go through life, God says, I am that shield, that bulwark, and a personal defense for you. As you seek me, as you draw near to me, I will cover you, I will protect you. You know, the imagery here is not of a God that moves chess pieces from afar. You know, He's not sitting back in the clouds somewhere and speaking to angels. Okay, move, you know, E7 to, oh, that's Battleship. Moving from one, you know, pawn. He's not doing that. He's a God who is near, who is close by, who is up close and personal in His deliverance and His protection. Maybe you've thought of God as far off and only mildly concerned with your life. But you, if you are a believer, if you've received Christ, He is intensely personal in His protection and His care. But we must seek Him. We must seek our God. We must trust Him. Next, the psalmist continues expounding on the examples of the Most High and examples of His protection, and that He is faithful in His protection. Verse 5. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or the arrow that flies by day, or the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or the destruction that lays waste at noon. You don't have to fear day or night. Notice the parallel here. Darkness. Okay? Night. Look at the day, noon. He gives the understanding that God is with us. Whether it's the arrow that flies, or the pestilence, an epidemic, or a plague, God is with us day or night. God is there. Some months ago, I was flipping through channels and came across a medieval movie, or not made in medieval times, but of battles. And it was a night scene where they light up the flaming arrows and they let them loose, and you see the terror of the arrows coming. But since they were flaming, you could hold up your shield and, you know, of course, requisitely, you know, some have to die. But then the enemy was sneaky. The next volley of arrows, they didn't light. Right? They thought, oh, they're preparing to light the next arrows. And they let off the next volley, they're quiet, and finally you hear the whistle of the arrows right before they hit. That's the idea, the terror of night, things that are unexpected, things that come at you. This God, this Most High God, can protect you in all of this, day or night. He doesn't take breaks. He doesn't go away for a descended weekend and leave us by ourselves. This God is with us. He is a protection day or night. Look next in verse 7. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. It shall not approach you. You only look on it with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. And really, he's giving here the idea of proximity, of nearness. Not only time, day or night, but proximity of nearness around us. Look at the language he uses here. It's 10,000 that fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. It would not approach you. You'll see it and see the recompense of the wicked, but it won't come near you. And it's interesting in this passage here, in verse 7 and 8, if you think about one who is in battle, the ones who are falling by your side are not only the enemy who are falling, but those who may have been on your side. And it seems as if the writer here is speaking of those who were of his nationality but were not trusting God. There were those who were not only the wicked of the other nation, but those who do not place their full faith in God. But the main idea here is that God is near. His refuge is close at hand. He's not far off. He's always with you. And look at verse 9. The reason for our protection. For you have made the Lord Yahweh my refuge. This is his quotation. Even the Most High your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor any plague come near your tent. The reason is that he has made God his sheltering. And that my refuge is a first-person statement in the middle of a section that is indicating that someone else is speaking. He's saying, you have said yourself, God's my refuge. The protection is for the one who states that. His personal testimony is of one that God is the refuge. No protection. And he protects the one who dwells here in verse 10. No harm, no hurt will come near you. Look at 11. He will give His angels charge concerning you, to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands, and they will that you do not strike your foot against the stone. You will tread upon the lion, the cobra, and the young serpent you will trample down. God gives protection in present danger. You'll notice that this is a passage that Satan used to tempt Christ. He'd go up to the top of the temple, cast yourself off. And Jesus tells Satan, don't presume upon God. Don't be presumptuous. Don't tempt God in the sense that you go and do reckless things just because they're reckless, and so just to see God work. The protection comes for the one who's abiding and walking with Christ, with God here. Don't tempt the Lord, but as you are walking with Him, He will not allow anything to come upon you. Dangerous animals, plagues, demons, nothing is match for God. He has protection. God is an ever-present help in trouble. He protects us. He gives us His strength. And even when it is our time to endure suffering, as we've been studying in 1 Peter and even in Acts, He will be with us. There's a passage in Elizabeth Elliot's book about her husband, The Shadow of the Almighty is the title, that she speaks to this. That even the time when her husband, those five men were killed there by the Indians on that island, that God was protecting and had His hand upon him. And nothing harmed them until God allowed that. And we understand that in God's economy, as He lives, as we live our lives out through Him, He may call us to danger. Make sure that He is calling you to danger, not you yourself calling yourself to danger. But when He does, He will be with you. He will be near you day or night. And if He should choose to take you home, you will have ultimate protection in Him in heaven. This our God cares. He loves. He protects. And finally, look at the Most High as He speaks. Look at the Most High and see what He says as the finality of this psalm. Because He has loved me, therefore I will deliver Him. I will set Him securely on high because He has known my name. He will call upon me. I will answer Him. I will be with Him in trouble. I will rescue and honor Him. With long life I will satisfy Him and let Him see my salvation. Protection is given to the one that loves God. A rendering of this, that phrase, because He has loved me, is because to me He is attracted. God gives protection to the one that is attracted to God, that comes and is like a magnet drawn to the other pole there. It is drawn to God, and God says, I will. The reason why my protection is here is because He has loved me. He's attracted to me. And the one that is drawn to God will be protected. The one who does not turn to other deities or their own strength or their own power, that one who is drawn to God, He will protect. And this idea here in, therefore I will deliver Him, is the rescue from. Protection is given from the evil that's coming the way for the one who loves God. The next phrase, I will set Him securely on high because He has known my name, is the rescue to the security of the presence of God and the security of that God avails by His great power. And that's for the one who knows God's name. And here the word to know is to confess or to accept. The one who is to proclaim or professes that God's name is before all other names in his or her life, this one. And God could be saying, as one commentator said, it says, I will save and protect the one who loves me and knows me. I will protect them from danger. I will rescue them to my everlasting arms. This is our God. Protection given to one that loves God. Notice next in here about the relationship here. in verse 15, He will call upon me and I will answer him. Notice in the master-servant time in which they lived, it was usually the master who called, the servant who jumped up and obeyed. The servant who came running. And God reverses this and says, okay, you, my servant, when you call, I will come and protect. That's an amazing thought. The Almighty God listens for our cry for help. He listens to us. He understands our feebleness and He comes to rescue. And it is because of that relationship that we have with God that we are His children. We are His servants. We know Him. 15, I will be with Him in trouble. I will rescue and honor Him. And even and especially, God will be with the one in the middle of trouble. Understand, trouble does not vanish when the Most High is there. Sometimes we think, okay, if God's here, I shouldn't be having any trouble, no danger, nothing whatsoever. Trouble does not vanish. However, when God is there, His protecting covering over us, trouble, danger, does not alarm us. This is our God. This is our God. And then finally, the protection is given with a promise in 16. With long life, I will satisfy him and let him see my salvation. What a blessed promise. Blessed promise of God with length of days he will satisfy. Allow him to feast his eyes on the salvation of God. This is all promised. This is all given to the one who dwells with the Almighty. So where do you hide? Where do you dwell? Who is the one to whom you turn? In October, there was an article in the Greensboro newspaper. It told of two ladies, both around the age of 76. They were cousins together. And they returned to their homeland of Ukraine. They went back to the town of Rovno to see the place where they spent 2 years hiding from the Nazis. When the Nazis overran their country, about 25,000 Jews were exterminated in their city, in the surrounding area of their city. One father was killed in war, the other was killed as they were gathered, the Jews were gathered. The two mothers ran to on the outskirts of town to a farmer's house. And that farmer was sympathetic to their plight and hid them. And for 18 months they hid in a hayloft. And he piled his bales of hay up so it provided them a protection that was not much larger than this area of the stage. And they stayed there. And he would, as he had opportunity, slip them food and water. But they stayed 18 months in that little hideaway. But someone found out that they were there. And so the Germans were sent. The army was sent. And before they got on the property, the mother and these two girls, there were five to seven, that range of the Cedar period, They ran to the fields. They lived in the fields, past the wheat field, into the woods for a number of days. And finally, when it was safe, they came back to the farm. Made contact with a farmer. And he hid them next underneath the floor of his barn. And he had hidden away some grain and some supplies so the Germans wouldn't get them. And they lived in an even smaller area. It said when the Russians finally came and liberated their town, the two girls could hardly walk. They had not been on their feet in so long. Who was the hiding place? So these two women come this past year. I think it was in September of this year, rather. They go back to this place. And they look at the hiding places that they stayed those nearly 2 years and marveled at the protection they had, the kindness of the farmer, and wept as they remembered the death and destruction all around them. And it reminded me of the psalm here, with a few alterations. The protection of God is absolute. We need not fear those around us. We do not need fear the armies coming at us. We are in God's hands. We are His. We are protected until He decides that we are to come home with Him. And the protection continues. There's nothing that touches us outside God's direct hands. He has ordained what will happen to us. He will protect and guide us. This God provides absolute protection. How can He do that? Because He is the Most High. There is none other higher, more powerful, more loving, more kind than He. The Most High. Maybe you're here today and you don't know the secure protection of the Most High. You've never received Christ as your Savior. Never trusted Him, His sacrifice for your sin. And maybe today is the day. Maybe you've put it off. Maybe you've acted like you're secure. But you need the protection of God. Call upon Him today. Maybe you're here today as a believer who's not been relying upon the Most High. Psalm 91 tells us that He is God. He is Almighty. But you choose to depend upon your own strength or the strength of others for protection. And when we do this, we draw ourselves away from God. We are susceptible to falling. We're susceptible to the snare, the traps, the devil, and others sets for us. Because we're not abiding continually in fellowship with God. We don't have the protection because we have pulled ourselves from God. Yes, we may be saved, but we've put Him at an arm's length. Or maybe we're just afraid to trust Him fully. We say, if I trust God fully, then He may call me somewhere, place I don't want to go. And I will say to you that when He calls you to a place, you'll want to go. And He'll protect you more there than any other place in the world. In fact, we are more susceptible to danger when we are out of God's will. It starts with this God. It starts with relying upon Him. With the understanding, as Romans 8:28 tells us, we know that God calls us all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. So fundamentally, who is God to you? Is He the Most High? Do we live as if He is the Most High? Or do we, in our minds, take Him down a rank by how we don't trust Him? Who is He to you? And are you trusting? Your God is the Most High. You can. You must trust Him. Let's bow for prayer. Gracious God, we thank You for Your love and for Your mercy. We stand in awe of You as we have this psalm recorded for us. We thank You for the words of it, and we pray that by Your power and strength we will understand. Lord, may Your word burrow deep into our hearts. Father, would You, by Your strength and Your grace, give us a fuller understanding of who You are and of the protection and the care that You give toward us. Lord, help us in our relationship with You to abide in Your presence, to live for You, to love You, to seek to please You in all that we do. And Father, we thank You for Your care for us. Father, I pray for that one who has been pulling him or herself away from the protection of God, either by sin or by lack of trust. Would You work in our hearts that we may trust You, we may confess sin, that You may be our all. And we see You as the Most High. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.